"There's a small rumour that Polus Merritt might be dead," Guinevere Kyrena said. "Something about him giving a fortune to one of my girls." They were in one of her houses, in a small, well-appointed library. She was wearing a casual blue dress that still managed to accentuate her curves.
"Can you hush it up?" Galen asked.
"This is the kind of thing that can get worse if you try to quash it. Wet boys frequently disappear for weeks at a time. Sometimes they give their money to their favourite rent girl in case they don't come back. It doesn't mean anything yet. I don't know the girl well enough to lean on her and be completely sure what she'd do. So I'd say we have 4 nights.
"Who's next?" Galen asked.
"Saren and Jade Marion."
"Two at once? Siblings?"
"Husband and wife. More than a little crazy."
"Anyone who chooses this work is crazy," Galen said.
"They have a 7-year-old son."
"So I'm making an orphan.
Fantastic." "They're already teaching him the business. Crazy."
"Oh, so now I'm doing him a favour?" Galen asked.
"In this life, some people are finished before they begin, Galen."
"You'll take care of him."
Her eyebrows lifted.
"First you were worried for him, now you want me to kill him?"
"I mean, provide for him," Galen said. "You're not going to put him on the street. He gets a chance, small as it may be."
"Done," Guinevere said.
They were beating the boy when Galen arrived, landing on a neighbour's rooftop. He supposed that should have made it easier. The Marion's home, bamboo and rice paper with a steep slate roof, was in a nicer area on the southeast side of the city. The home itself was small, but had a large yard surrounded by a high fence so their neighbours couldn't watch them train. It was oddly careless for 2 wet boys, but then Galen supposed if you had a child, it was hard to move surreptitiously between safe houses. And any robber who accidentally came here would quickly wish he hadn't. And if someone knew he was attacking 2 wet boys and decided to do it anyway, he was probably powerful enough to find you, regardless. Still, odd. And it was the mother doing the beating.
"Faster, Hubert! Pathetic! You disgust me!"
The boy was curled up on the ground, and she was punching him, her fist stabbing in past his blocks, efficient, crisp, remorseless.
"Will you serve me in this?"
"What are you doing, Achilles?"
"Serve me or abandon me, black heart. I'm going."
Galen leapt from the roof. There were good tactical reasons to do this. There were doubtless booby traps on the fence, on the wet boy's own roof, and at their doors, but really, he just wanted to get it over with. Problem with jumping, you can't change course in midair. Jade screamed something just before Galen descended. Galen's sword was out, aimed squarely for Saren's back, going for the heart. But Saren jumped instantly and used his talent to do so. Galen's sword struck deeply enough that the blade stuck and was ripped out of his hands by the force of Saren's jump. Galen hit the ground off balance and rolled, popping to his feet and throwing a pair of knives at Jade. She stood still, apparently stunned by his appearance. The knives passed through her and she popped.
Mirage, of course. Jade was a master of illusions.
A door slammed, the back door of the house. Jade had already escaped. The boy had risen. He was staring at Galen, wide-eyed.
"Sorry, kid," Galen said. "Nothing to do with you."
He jumped over the fence into the neighbour's much smaller yard, approximately where he thought Saren should have landed. Saren was in the yard, standing on trembling legs, leaning against a sapling for support. Galen's sword had entered his back and exited below his belly button. The force of his jump had yanked it downward, but it hadn't cut all the way through his pelvis, so the blade was sticking out of his crotch, angled down. Blood dripped off the sword's point, like piss dribbling off a penis.
"You won't get it,"
Saren said.
"Get what?"
Galen asked, playing along.
"The red stone, the fire ruby."
"The red Kakari?"
What the hell?
You're dying, Galen said. If you don't make your move soon, you won't have the strength.
Saren shifted, and a gush of blood and worse splurted onto the ground from his groin. A knife tumbled out of his nerveless fingers. He grunted, face contorted in pain.
Too late. Curse you.
How much does she love you? Galen asked quietly.
What?
Saren's eyes suddenly showed a bit of real fear. Galen lowered his voice further.
Because I want to know if I'm going to have to chase Jade down, or if she'll come back if I stand here talking to you long enough.
You're despicable, Galen.
Spare me.
I'll kill you, Saren shouted,
raising his voice, doubtless to cover the approach of... Galen threw himself to the side. A spear pierced the air where he'd stood a second before.
A mistake.
She should have attacked with projectiles. She thrust again immediately as he moved in. The blade cut his tunic as it passed between his torso and his arm. Galen locked his elbow around the spear's shaft, trapping it as he twisted, bringing up his other hand and snapping the shaft below the spearhead before Jade could snatch it back.
Give her this. She'd been overcome by emotion for a moment, wanting to kill him immediately so she could tend to her dying husband, but she was cool now. She instantly lashed out again with the broken weapon, using it as a staff, unfazed. Unarmed, Galen dodged behind the sapling where Saren was leaning, dying. Her strike rattled the whole tree, making Saren groan. She stabbed at Galen, right past Saren. Once, twice. Galen dodged, then blocked, absorbing the blow and throwing her back. He ripped his sword free of Saren's back. Jade was blonde, with appropriately green eyes, hard and skinny. A muscular beauty. She began spinning the staff in great, fast circles, while she circled Galen Widdershins. Saren was groaning again. He'd fallen to the ground, propped awkwardly against the little sapling. Jade made no move to attack, her face a mask of intensity, stance low, staff whirling. Galen would have been fooled if his eyes weren't so good, Kakari aided. But there was a slight shimmer to Jade's figure, and that spinning staff made no noise as it cut the air. Dropping low, Galen spun, attacking behind himself, his sword cutting a gleaming arc, batting aside a shadowy sword as the real Jade, shadow-cloaked, attacked from behind him. Galen's lightning-fast riposte cut halfway through her neck. Jade dropped instantly. His blade had cut her spine. Arterial blood jetted over his face as his sword slid out of her neck. The shadows she'd wrapped around her body retreated, disappeared. The illusion of her, her distraction, her doppelganger, continued circling, whirling the phantasmal staff. Jade had split it off from herself when Galen had turned away to grab his sword. Then she'd wrapped herself in shadows and had circled him the opposite way. Clever. The illusory Jade circled all the way to Galen, intent on spinning her staff. At Galen's touch, the illusion fell apart. When Galen turned again, Jade was dead. Her illusions had outlived her.
Not so different, are we?
The Marion's little boy, Hubert, came running into the yard with a little child-sized crossbow in his hands, crying,
Father! Father!
Not 10 paces away, wrapped in shadows, gathered in the arms of the night, Galen watched. With one hand, he rubbed his temples.
Mother! Mother!
The boy, the orphan, ran to her corpse. Darkness. Guinevere guided Galen to the basin, washed the blood off his hands. He knew he should snap out of it, but he was wooden, leaden, numb, dead. Jade, blonde hair stained into a black halo around her head, neck cut at a sharp upward angle from collarbone to chin. Jerissa, petite Cenarian with brown eyes, expression blank, never again to show her quirky grin, dress matted with blood from a single sword stroke through her heart. Ysel, round Ymerie face angelic, chest crushed, every rib snapped. Liddell, kinky Ladeshian hair pulled into many small braids, eyes open, blackballed from the blow that had crushed the back of her skull. Hanan, still a beauty at 70, hair like ivory, smile lines by the dozen, the bruise prints of strangling hands around her neck. Dirella, her dusky, sethy skin, fine, nose patrician, hair almost blue-black. The violence that had killed her hadn't left any marks, at least not on her face. Faima, features so demolished he wouldn't have been able to recognize the young princess if not for the little mole on the side of her neck. Platinum blonde Anouk, Aelin, the fire dancer, Kia, exiled duchess turned pirate. And on it went, a line of women, young and old, his wives and lovers from over the centuries, all dead because of him, one way or the other. He turned and saw a line of dead children, his dead, his fault. Guinevere pulled his tunic over his head like he was a child. He was standing beside a steaming tub of water. He hadn't even noticed it being brought in.
"You've come a long way, Tal Draken. Or is it Galen Starfire now? So hard to run from the past, isn't it?"
The man sat astride his fine midnight warhorse, a self-satisfied smirker. He was the kind of man you knew was headed for a fall, but not for a while. Galen sneered, said nothing, continued walking home.
"You're a duke, not a dirt farmer. This is beneath you. You're a warrior. I want you to fight for me, Galen Starfire,"
Baron Riku said.
"But I won't take no for an answer."
"Oh, yes, you will,"